Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. I guess times three.
Long time no see.
This is three episodes in one, essentially, of our Jujutsu Kaisen coverage. Clearly there's been a gap for us. Another one, essentially. Real life things have gotten in the way, I would say, a little bit. I've moved. Can't really tell from my backdrop, but I'm in a different location. Alki here restarted coaching young men in the game of basketball, instilling them with life lessons. Not really sure what Dave Tald has been up to, but essentially the NFL season has started. So a lot of things have been going on. And honestly, we just talked about a little bit before this. It's kind of worked perfectly. These three episodes are a nice little like combo of the Gojo and Shibuya fight. So this is going to work. Essentially, we're going to have three buckets to cover all these episodes. They won't be individual episode buckets. The first bucket will just be us talking about the initial kind of Yuji warm-up fight with the grasshopper / locust. Then the middle bucket will be the meat or the veggies of the sandwich. How about that?
Nope.
The tofu of the sandwich.
We'll meet you in the middle with salmon. We'll meet you in the middle with salmon.
Yeah. That will be the Gojo fight that we'll talk about. And then the end, the bottom piece of bread, is going to be just us talking kind of next steps, the aftermath, how everyone's handling it type of deal. So without further ado, we're back to Jujutsu Kaisen. Yuji hasn't really been in the story a lot leading up to this. Obviously, we had the flashback episodes with Gojo and Geto. Now we're getting in. This is episode 8, I believe, a fight. A lot of people I saw commenting that like this was badly animated.
Well, the grasshopper one.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of agree. I mean, I don't like the ghosting, like, but they did the later fight well, so I don't care.
I didn't even know that was a term until
that's one I learned. I learned
the outrage.
It,
yeah, the outrage on the internet. I thought they got the gist of the fight down pretty well. The one thing I will say they missed on potentially is like the aftermath shot where it's like Yuji all in shadow and his eyes are like white and he has like the glowing cursed energy fists. I thought that was like one of my like favorite shots panels in the manga, and it just didn't look as good in the anime.
Yeah. But
other than that, I thought this was like a solid little like initial warm-up fight pretty much for Yuji.
Well, I think people were pissed because they didn't really know like what these next, like what kind of fight was going to follow that fight. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty minuscule fight, and I mean, Yuji works him. I mean, it's no contest.
I feel like nowadays it's every anime does this where they'll sacrifice like one or two episodes of like animation quality and just save it for the end. And that's kind of what they did here a little bit. I didn't think it was that bad. People are just very picky when it comes to anime nowadays. We're just so spoiled. Like Jujutsu Kaisen has shown shown us peak animation for sure. So this was a little bit of a downgrade. I thought it was fine. But again, I think Yuji's just so badass. And like you said, Kyle, even on the other podcast, like I would forget his name because we hadn't seen him in so long. And I felt terrible not remembering his name, but kicks some ass. And I love his power, even though it is very basic. It's so cool to see it animated, though. Like the blue looks so clean and how it's like very comic booky. Like it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feels like the comic book, comic book font on Microsoft Word.
Yuji's cool. And I really like his pink hair. I just think it looks good.
I was just going to say, it works really well, all of it together, too. Like, the pink hair with his, like, dark blue and red outfit with, like, the, like, brighter blue fists look, like, really cool, all that combined, for sure. I like the line, too, at the end when he goes, "You've eaten people. You know what that means, right?" It's like, I'm going to fucking kill your ass, motherfucker. Yeah.
Boy.
I agree. I think this episode, it reminded me how much I do love Yuji's design, but I was in my head thinking we could use an outfit upgrade. We could get a new outfit on Yuji.
Just wearing the school uniform.
Yeah, they've worn the school uniforms for so long now, and I could get a new outfit change for him.
I don't mind the school uniform because I like how his is unique. Like I like how he has the red hood or whatever. Like I think it looks good. It's very him.
Yeah, for sure. And I like one small last comment for me is I like this kind of distinction we have for cursed spirits where it talks. So he's like, okay, this is like a high level cursed spirit. Like it can understand human speech and speak back to me. I just like that as like a small little signifier of strength almost.
He's clever.
Yeah, that was funny.
It is getting.
He's like,
getting...
you know, clever people don't always just say they're clever, and he's like, what?
Nani?
It's getting. It is a good reminder because a lot of the villains that we've been introduced to are obviously like special grade curses that can all talk, and so, and obviously the ones that can talk are becoming more abundant. So it's just a good reminder that okay, the power scaling between the two sides, like the evil side. Is definitely increasing over time, whereas like this little grasshopper villain can even speak, like formulate sentences and talk in human tongue.
Yeah, and Maymay makes that comment too, I think in episode 10, where she's like, wow, they're just kind of, you know, they're just coming out of the woodwork essentially type of deal, which is like a definitely a cool idea.
But then so, it breeds into the Maymay comment on Yuji saying he's already easily a whatever grade one sorcerer. Yeah. Like it's not even close, like he was able to beat that grasshopper. So that was just a cool reminder that our boy is the man. It's not all about Gojo, which for me it might be, but it's not all about.
I mean, it won't be moving forward, but we'll
not
get there.
Moving forward.
Yeah, and we'll get into it right now. Actually, we'll move right into that Gojo fight. So three episodes worth of a Gojo fight, basically. We don't really need to talk about an episode at the time, but I guess just to give us like a general kind of framework of how it happened. Episode 8 is kind of like the intro of just Jugo and Hanami and Choso versus him. And then we start to get more into like, all right, they're kind of popping off. And then episode 10, kind of Mahito gets involved. That's a lie. Episode 9, Mahito gets involved. The prison realm gets involved and it starts hitting the fan. And then episode 10, we're kind of getting into this like what happens after type of ideal. So I would say the floor's completely open the whole fight. We're obviously not going to take it in order of what happens. There's one moment, obviously, I know we're going to die into talk about, but we'll just get after all of it.
I just like the back and forth that we get during the beginning, at least, of the Gojo, Jugo, all them fight, where it kind of shows you Geto talking to Jugo in the past about how we're going to tackle
they're just on a playground. I thought it was funny too.
Yeah, and there's like kids running around too. It's just like so weird. But I like the parallels there because it helps us break it down step by step what their plan was and how they actually were planning on using Gojo. Like obviously the first step in all of it was to just bring in a bunch of humans so that way they could kind of run rampant, go around not having to worry about controlling their powers, where Gojo would have to make the decision like of either using his powers to the full extent and killing everyone or holding back and limiting the amount of people that die in the process by the actual curses here. So I like the parallels here. And again, quote unquote, Geto just showing off the intelligence in these scenes, just knowing Gojo to a T. I guess the questions about that will come when we get to that point of that reveal. But overall, my God, my guy is just the man. Gojo is literally just the fucking coolest, one of my favorite anime characters ever. And I'm not even like hesitating anymore when I say that. Like, he is just the man. I just love characters. Yeah, he's up there, man. I just love characters who are one, cocky about their powers, and two, like, can just back it up. And the white hair. His character design's great. Like, everything about him just hits the mark for me. And I was so hyped watching these episodes. Just him running rampant and just killing everything was incredible.
The scene that I was dying for is when he just like crushes Hanami against the wall with the fucking what the hell, the Limitless. It's just like, and he even says like to Jugo, he says like, you're gonna keep whatever like punching me or like pushing me with domain amplification from that side, but like, how long do you think this asparagus over here can hold on? And he just turns around and just fucking crushes him against the wall. No, or her, maybe, I actually don't remember, but just so awesome, just the splatter. And Jugo's like, obviously Nami's just dead now.
I have to say the names are confusing, and I remember getting confused while reading. Hanami is the demon with the antler eyes. Yeah, right. And then there's Nanami, which is the teacher. Yeah, and then you have you guys keep saying Jugo, but it's pretty sure it's Jogo, right?
Jogo. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Jogo and then Gojo. You know what I mean? And like Geto.
And then Geto.
But Jogo and Hanami they are pretty fucking sweet, man. And they're like, Jogo is a savage, the way he just flies around with the lava and stuff. I think this whole fight is so fun. Gojo, his design with, and I know this is like goes without saying, and it's old news at this point, we're on season two, but his eyes being covered, I think that's my favorite part about his whole design, bro. It's sick. Cause it's like, he doesn't even need to fucking look at you, bro. He just fuck you up at all times.
There are so many great moments in this fight. Like the first one that I'm thinking of obviously is, like you said, Kyle, when he blows up Hanami, like they're not letting him use his abilities. And he's just like, all right, I'll just beat you in hand-to-hand combat.
I love that.
And he just fucks up Hanami. And then Jogo's like, this might not be so good for us.
Immediately transitioned to hit and run tactic. He's like, let's use the crowd. Like, and then he's, I love when he yells at Choso, and he's like, if you don't help, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
And then he rips out fucking Hanami's like roots from the eyes. That was savage as well. I fucking love that. I'm sitting here with my mouth wide open. Like, I should have just known this was coming for these three.
That fight is, I mean, Gojo should have, they had to do all that to dismantle his ability, and he still pretty much worked them. I mean, they're lucky with the result and how it all played out. Like, it was obviously such very, very well planned by Geto, or pseudo Geto, however you want, we're going to refer to him from this point on. I also really love Choso. I think his power is great. And Dave, like, I think that's one guy to keep an eye on.
Who are his brothers? The one was like,
it was like the end of last.
I remember the one had the mohawk, but he said he had two brothers.
Yeah, so they were together. And it was at the end of last season when him and Nobara, I mean, Yuji and Nobara were like fighting those two, like,
yeah, the one those had two like people. The one had like a Hitmonlee kind of body.
And then they became one, though, or something like that, right? Or
they're like on the truck, too. They're like driving away.
Like, I'm picturing that guy with the mohawk. But
basically, it was when
like an old school rocker.
It's when Yuji first did his Black Flash. It was the first time he did a Black Flash.
Okay,
right, Kyle?
Yeah.
Now that he fights, that's Hanami.
They're both definitely dead, right?
He uses Black Flash for the first time. Yeah, they're totally dead, though.
Yeah, okay.
But maybe Nobara did a Black Flash. Anyway, they had like a tag team, Nobara and Yuji versus the two Choso's two brothers. Yeah. So Choso has it out for Yuji right now.
Choso was in the end of season two. It's difficult to like remember that, but they're like, he's playing, I think, the game of life or like Monopoly with, I think, Jogo and Mahito and like maybe Geto at the end of it. And then like he has like a feeling about like his brothers dying and then now he's back kind of deal.
Oh yeah.
So like, he has that like thread running through with, and he mentions it about Nobara and Yuji.
Is he implied to be the strongest of the brothers?
Ah.
The other two were strong. It's just, I guess I'm assuming that because like Chozo's out here running with Jogo and Hanami. Yeah,
I would say, and also just the idea of like he's still in the story. We're getting later in the story. Yuji's getting stronger type of deal. So I feel
we're at the veggie and potatoes, as Kyle tried to instill on us.
It's easy to infer that, I would say. And I don't think you're wrong to infer that. How about that? But yeah, and then Gojo, I mean, again, just to go back to Gojo crushing Hanami, I like how he just smiles.
Yeah. He just has that sick, like, wicked smile on his face. Like, he's just having a blast fucking up these curses. And he's just walking towards him so casually. I love it. And then fucking Mahito ruins everything. Although, really quickly before that, when Jogo's, like, throwing actual humans at him, and they're just, like, freezing in air.
It's so funny. They mention it early in the fight how, like, there's two people talking. And the one random guy's like, what are those two saying? And the other guy's like, two. Don't you mean four? I like did that again. And then again. So some people around can kind of see what's going on. And then other people are just completely fucking off. Like, they're literally just floating in the air around Gojo.
When the fight is happening, in my head, when I'm watching like the bystanders, in my head, some of them are just watching this happen and they're just seeing these bodies just explode next to them. They have no concept of what's happening. They're just looking around and they're just like, pop, one goes by, there's one body, pop, there's another one. Like,
I actually like the detail that you're pointing out too, because there were times where they were in the track, like the subway track, and there's people just waiting at like the gate, like on their phone, because they literally can't see anything.
Yeah.
It's like hilarious. I actually thought to myself, like, are these people Are they, what's their problem? Are they stupid? And, Gojo, and then I was like, oh, wait.
And Gojo uses that to his advantage, or I guess it's not to his advantage, but he kind of realizes like people are realizing that he is the source of like all the death, kind of, because they can't see anything else. And so he's using that. Oh, it is to his advantage because he wants the space to be able to use.
Right. They're like, he's like, get away from me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then once the space comes, like you mentioned, Mahito's train full of transfigured humans comes. And they can see them. So I just love the little like jump out of the train, and he does like the little Mario pose and just goes, Jogo! I thought that was so funny. I love this, the idea of the Mahito's just like a little kid type of thing. He's obviously a dickhead and we don't like him, but I love his characterization overall as a character.
Yeah, he was literally playing with the birds and shit at the playground. What follows the train's arrival full of transfigured humans? Dude, Gojo, that was savage, bro. He's just unbelievable. And he did it in what was it, like 180 seconds or something like that?
299.
Yeah, well, fuck.
So a little over three minutes and 19 seconds. It's so cool because, I mean,
it's a little longer than that.
All three of the curses are just sitting there thinking like, oh, what are you going to do here, Gojo? Like, they're all calculating, like, what's your next play here?
4 minutes and 49 seconds. Sorry, continue, Dave.
They just assume that.
59 seconds, too.
They just don't assume he's going to use the infinite void, and it's just him with his, like, hair covering his eyes, and it's just them thinking about it, and then he just crosses his fingers and hits him with the infinite void.
It's like a whole intense monologue. Because they're like comparing him to Yuji, and they're like, Yuji's like too much of a goody two shoe. Like, he can't accept any level of collateral. Like, Gojo, obviously, he has some icy logic. He can do it. But at the same time, like, he has a limit. And then it's just like, bang, domain expansion. And they're like, what? And he calculates. So he's like, okay, maybe like 0.2 seconds is like what a normal person can handle.
Yeah.
And they get like, I think they said it's a half a year worth of info. And then, like, in the aftermath, they could return to society 2 months later. And they're all just, like, unconscious standing up. And then what's just even, 5 minutes of him fucking shit up.
What's even crazier about that, too, is Gojo had never tested that theory out. He just, knowing his power so well, he just made the assumption that if it was any more than 0.2 seconds, then they would all just perish. Like, he was deducing that in his head in the moment. He's the GOAT, man. I fucking love Gojo. This was the most badass thing I've ever seen, almost.
It was really interesting too, seeing him like breathing heavy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's That was shocking.
That was pretty cool though that they showed that. And I like he just has like two transfigured human heads in his hands. He's just like palming them like basketballs at the end.
It's a testament to their planning, man. I mean, you got to give it to Mahito and Geto. Like, they've really thought this out. Geto obviously knows the power. Geto Jojo's power more than anybody on Earth, and I mean. It's unfortunate the way it happened at the end, and he's going to inevitably get trapped. But like, frick, man, that display of power by Gojo is, you know, very like we were talking about Demon Slayer and everything and how great it is. That one scene's better than all the fights and Demon Slayer. I mean, let's be honest. It is. Come on.
I do not agree.
Dude, it is.
It's close. It's not close. I love agree. Demon Slayer. Yeah. I see what you're saying here. Though. No, this is definitely like the highlight for me so far of Jujutsu Kaisen. Like, because Gojo's always come to my mind when I think of this show, to be honest. And now I have like the perfect scene to attach it to. Like,
let me just rephrase that. I guess I still think it's the reason why I think it's the best is because in Demon Slayer, Gojo's like so strong, like his power scaling in this universe, he's like OP, you know what I mean? And it's such a great display of that. There has never been a display like that in Demon Slayer. So let me rephrase that like that. But with that being said, I guess Kyle, continue on.
Well, actually,
it would be like Michael Jackson in Demon Slayer, just like killing a bunch of people in a millisecond would be like kind of the equivalent. Demon Slayer is like, it gets me so emotionally invested because Tanjiro has to struggle. Watching the struggle is why I enjoy Demon Slayer.
It's funny. So I actually have the replay going of episode. I think it's episode 9. I want to make sure I'm hitting everything, but when one of the first monsters come out of the train, like, you know, some of the people are wearing costumes, in the background, I'm pretty sure this is like Joaquin Phoenix's like Joker looking character with a Harley Quinn looking character next to him. So just shout out. They got the references in there
because
they
are fun
because they actually have. I mean, they do a decent job of doing like modern cultural references like in the show. So it's cool that they actually would incorporate like a DC comic book character here, too.
And I don't remember off the top of my head anything specific like that in the manga, but like what a perfect opportunity to have like a little level of creativity as like a, you know, as an animator, essentially. I mean, obviously their workloads are very high, but I'm sure maybe this was like a nice little like, oh, let's mess around and throw in some shit that I like.
Yeah.
You know, your own little personal flair, let's say.
But now we get the reveal.
Yeah. So after the display of power, Gojo's catching his breath a little bit, and we see that Prison Realm is sitting on the ground right there, and Geto, cool, calm, collected, obviously planned all of this out, like Aoki has been mentioning, and and just the look on Gojo's face, and it's just the memories come flooding back, and it's just enough. I mean, we learned, I think, at the beginning of episode 9, so this is all kind of still happening in episode 9, that all they need is for Gojo to be within 4 meters of Prison Realm for 1 minute. That was funny, too, how Jogo gets pissed at that. He's like, that's literally an impossible task, which is like an insane level of respect on Gojo's name, for sure.
Yeah.
But obviously, Pseudo Geto knew what he was doing. All the memories flood back, and it's just enough time. There's just like an iconic quote here that people were just like discussing all the time on the internet. I remember reading the manga as well when it, and just like when he says, "Who the hell are you? Your body, your cursed energy, all the information provided by these eyes is telling me that you're Suguru Geto, but my soul is rejecting that." And naturally, all the people that ship them two together are all like, "Oh,
oh, that's
so good."
So I want to say something to everybody listening here. If you haven't done so, definitely go watch the Jujutsu Kaisen movie or read Chapter Zero online. With that being said, are we fair game to just spoil? We're allowed to talk about that right?
Yeah, movie's fair game. Obviously, yeah, I mean, this reveal is fair
we've
game.
Seen it. We've read it. It was a good little.
So, Dave, like, you haven't mentioned this at all. And me and Kyle in the background were like, yo, I've said, like, should we bring this up? You know, because this is like a fact. We know that Geto is dead. Dude, like, we know he's dead.
I don't know why it never crossed my mind. I really have no explanation for it because obviously I watched the movie. I saw the end that obviously Yuji is the one that beats Geto and Gojo is the one that has to be the one to deal the death blow.
Not Yuji, Yuta.
Or Yuta, sorry.
Right?
Yes. Yuta, sorry.
That's okay.
But again, I guess the reason... Names. Well, I guess the reason I didn't think that... I guess the reason this was like a shock to me was because we never got the like on-screen...
confirmation.
Death blow of Gojo to Geto. So I guess in my head when I came out of that movie... I was under the assumption that something like he didn't do it. Like it was open-ended. Like he didn't do it. He could have done it. But then you start thinking about the character that we're seeing now. And it's like, okay, where did the stitches come from? Why is that a thing? I don't know. That just, I feel like subconsciously I had recognized like that being a part of like the introduction to like evil Geto was the stitches and him not being evil was non-stitches. I just never brought it up. I don't know. I never thought of it as something.
I'm kind of glad that you had like a surprise in this reveal. Cause while we read it, like Kyle, like Chapter Zero, I hadn't read Chapter Zero while reading this originally. I don't even, I'm not actually 100% sure when Chapter Zero was actually released. It was much before the movie. And I read and watched the movie when it came out, like, so.
But you had read this reveal already before knowing the events of
that. I'm saying like it was organic for me, this reveal in this episode, like it was organic for me as well.
Right.
So I'm glad because it was definitely like a what the fuck moment. I mean, I was definitely wondering what the hell's going on with the stitching on his forehead, like for 100 chapters. You know what I'm saying? So it's pretty cool that you saw that with the what the frick is his name, Kyle? Did they reveal? They revealed his name, right?
No, they haven't said who is the. They're just saying that someone.
That's like
is
the end of the arc.
Yeah.
Okay.
They haven't said.
Never mind.
No, I mean it is supposed to be a reveal. I feel like I've been looking out for a name, but they have not given us one specifically. So
yeah,
you're good there. But
I'm like,
I just feel so
sure.
stupid. I just don't know why I didn't process.
Dude, how about
that,
the music? The music here. I literally, again, another little note. The music. I thought it was so good. I think they did this really well. I'm sure that like a lot of people that didn't know this was coming, again, like it's an emotional moment as well, on top of like a oh my god type of moment, like because Gojo always feels so larger than life. Mm-hmm. All the time, like we just talked about, he just fucking kicks everyone's ass for the past, you know, 2.5 episodes and then this happens type of deal. So I just think that it's really funny too that Gege Akutami, who writes Jujutsu Kaisen, draws Jujutsu Kaisen, has always said like Gojo is a great character, but he hates Gojo's character, because like in reality, like if you want to think super logically, like every problem can just be fixed by Gojo.
Mm-hmm.
So this was probably a great thing for him to be able to like remove Gojo from the chessboard
and make it even.
Yeah. And then see what happens there. They have the conversation too after this where it's Jogo, Mahito, Choso, and kind of Geto's involved a little bit, where they're like, okay, next, now that like Gojo's off the table, like it's kind of even now between sorcerers and like curses and things like that. So I'm sure that's like, that for me is like why it's kind of tough sometimes. Like I remember originally being like, fuck, they sealed Gojo, like that sucks, I don't like this at all. And then you start to read longer and we'll get into more episodes and it's like, oh, this is giving such a great opportunity to everyone else in the show.
Yeah.
And actually was Nanami, right, we're gonna get into it, but he explains the implications of Gojo being sealed, and it actually lines up with exactly what you're saying, like in terms of real world, our world, the fourth wall, and the actual story itself. I think this moment, this reveal and him getting trapped, led to what maybe is my, despite the whole fight and Gojo's display of power, this one moment was to me the best in these episodes, when he's like, Gojo's like, you're just going to let him take over your body like that or whatever. Yeah. And Geto's like clenches and grabs, reacts. And whoever's controlling him had a revelation like, wow, this has never happened before. And it kind of opened his eyes to maybe a new understanding of how the curse users and sorcery works. This regardless, like I just thought it was sweet, because we talked a lot about in the beginning of how, when we started this podcast and beginning of the season, just like Geto's the, like, he's got layers, you know what I mean? He's deep. And I'm sure while Geto did turn to the dark side at the beginning, at the end of the flashback, at the beginning of the season, he turned to the dark side. He's definitely not happy with what's going on right now.
Yeah. So there's like multiple things that I guess I want to talk about. And I guess you guys should be a little bit careful in how you answer them, because it might breach on spoiler territory. But I guess my first thought is, this one isn't really a question yet, but going off of what Alki was just kind of talking about how he, at the beginning of the season, we know we see him evil, but then thinking on to the movie Zero, in his death moment with Gojo, he kind of turns over that leaf again. Like he was evil, obviously, in movie Zero, and showed like the monkeys terminology came out a lot and all that stuff.
Sheesh.
And at the end, it felt like he kind of explained himself to Gojo, but kind of also understood what he was doing wrong. So this kind of goes into a little bit now what I guess I'm going to ask is, the person or thing that's controlling him, I'm gaining that it is a person. Like it's not a curse necessarily that seems to be doing it. I'm taking it as it's a person's curse technique, maybe.
They mentioned it too a little bit about how it's a technique that you can kind of like etch yourself onto someone else's body.
And then I guess this is probably, you guys probably shouldn't answer, just me shouting things out into the void. Yeah. But
that's the best part.
Would that person have a body, like a host body, like kind of like Mechamaru? Mm. Or is it just the brain itself? You know, obviously there's signs of Geto still being in there. And like I said, he's at the end of movie Zero, he does flip over that leaf. And again, because he's resisting this person or whoever's controlling him, I feel like Geto is still obviously in there and he's going to be a good guy. So it's mainly just this thing that is, I guess, harvesting off of Geto's original thoughts of negativity and like using that to come across as Geto. It's a lot right there. I'm kind of,
yeah, I like the way you're taking breadcrumbs, connecting them, formulating a theory out of it. That's fun stuff right there. I like how in this moment Gojo is obviously like, okay, fuck, this is checkmate type of deal. And Geto even bring, or I guess we'll say pseudo Geto, even brings up, like, you know, Yuta can copy curse techniques and he has, you know, this almost boundless curse energy, but like he can't replace you. And like everything was just to get you off of the board. And I thought that was like, he literally says like he targeted Geto both for his curse techniques with the curse manipulation and because of his connection to Gojo, which was perfect to create the opportunity to steal him in Prison Gate. And that level of like planning, even beyond just this initial fight, is just like, obviously we're dealing with an entity, a villain, something that is just willing to go to insane lengths to do whatever is necessary.
And then I guess my other question will be, I don't know, again, if you will be able to answer this, but it seems like this person's ability allows them to gain the memories of the person that they're controlling. Is that correct?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I figured that. I just wanted to get that confirmation out there.
I'm going to say no comment on your other things, though.
Yeah, yeah. That's basically what Kyle said. So there's just like multiple things that I'm trying to think of here. I'm going to assume that it's kind of like a Mechamaru situation. Like, I think there is going to be like a host body or like main body, and the brain is just kind of out there hopping around and keeping this person alive. Maybe like a Pain situation. There you go. Pain from Naruto kind of situation. Boom. Okay. That's where I'm at.
All right. The last comment I'll make on the Gojo stuff, I guess for me, obviously we could still talk about it for as long as we want. I love the prison gate gets all heavy and drops to the ground, and then the eyes on it change to the blue. It's just like so fucking awesome. We get the cut of him inside and he's just kind of lounging. He's like, well, okay, this is a bit unfortunate, but it'll all work out. Like, I believe in everyone.
Like, he's not even trying to like really resist the cage, and yet the cage is like, this guy's too strong.
He's just so much for it. It's just fucking awesome.
Actually, one other comment I want to bring up too is I love that they were talking about Yuta here, because Yuta's a mystery to us still. I mean, we saw, what would you call that like curse that was attached to it?
Rika?
Are you
talking about
Rika? Yeah.
Yuta himself?
Yeah, like, because does he have Rika still? Like, I'm pretty sure that was under the assumption that he doesn't have that. He's kind of just like a sorcerer now. With,
well, it's weird. Like, she was exorcised or something, but he's no longer like cursed by her, but she just like remains, and he can kind of tap into the vast amounts of cursed energy that she has.
Had. Okay.
And that's what they mentioned, because, right, Kyle?
Yeah, yeah. He, like you're about to say, he mentions here that Yuta has like an insane amount of curse energy.
Like, he's the only one other than Gojo that can kind of face him, because his mimicry, we know about his mimicry, but it's like, so it's cool. One thing to be able to mimic, and another thing to be like, have limitless the way Gojo does.
I just like the references a lot, because I guess it's been so long since we've seen Yuta, heard of him. It's cool hearing that Yuta's actually like top tier. Yeah. Also,
he
like
always Gojo gets respect put on his name when he gets brought up.
Like, that's awesome to me. Like, the fact that they were saying like that, they were even like talking about potentially replacing Gojo. Obviously, that's not doable, but like the fact that it was even talked about puts so much respect on Yuta's name. So that was just really cool.
Yeah, it's almost like he is like almost considered Gojo's heir to the throne, kind of type of deal, which is obviously fucking badass. But I just, only comment on you two is just have some patience.
Okay, you guys want to know some?
Yeah, I would love to.
The Shibuya arc, like, chapter zero came out in apparently 2017, and the Shibuya arc came out in 2019. So,
okay, so they did. They tried to plant that seed.
I prefer it the way that we experienced it.
Me too.
He popped off the head and I was like, what? That's not ghetto? Yeah, that was better for me personally, I think.
Yeah,
I agree. I think it was better. And also,
I guess, obviously,
because I didn't know anything about Yuta. He was just like an enigma, and I knew that he was supposed to be like the only other S grade or whatever. I don't even know if that's, well, now we know, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Also, it was sweet.
Also, now I'm thinking about it. Didn't Geto and Go, like, maybe another reason why this didn't quote unquote hit so hard. I mean, obviously it did, but In my head, I guess I was under the assumption also that Gojo and Geto had already met at the festival or that sports events, whatever. Like, Geto does reveal himself there, does he not, or no? Like, I feel like yeah, like I feel like I picture him with like his squad and they're having a conversation. Is that
I want to say no. I could be wrong. I'm just trying to think, like, he faces off quote unquote with Hanami, where he fucking does the purple, which is sick.
Like, but he drops like off like all those villains.
Does Geto, I guess the question is, who goes in to get like the fingers and the cursed?
I'll go back paintings. And look at that for the next one. But yeah. I could have swore that like Geto like shows himself to the school and is like, he announces like, I'm going to invade you guys. Maybe not. Maybe I'm confusing it with My Hero. I don't know.
Well, I think he might have been like in the vantage point, like background.
And I guess like maybe Gojo also wasn't the one, like wasn't actually there to see him.
You know, I don't think he engaged at all.
Who's going to get us right? Yuji's going to be our friend, and I am going to apologize if I mispronounce your name, but Ade Goldberg, Ade. They'll let us know.
Yeah.
They always hook us up.
Oh, they comment on the thing?
Yeah, with the juicy info. Every time we have a question.
We got a fan. We have a singular fan questions. Listening they hook to it us. Up.
Okay.
They hook it up.
I'm excited to see what they say.
So that is, for me personally, the end of the Gojo fight comments that I have.
Yep, same here for me.
All right. Now we can very quickly here, I assume, discuss kind of this aftermath type of deal. We get like flash to a lot of characters. So we see like Kusakabe, we see the head of the Zenin clan, we see Maki, we unfortunately see Ichichi. There you go. I think I got it the fourth time. He gets stabbed 5 times by that rando with the long hair and I love the hand blade. The hand blade is really cool.
Yeah. That was wild.
Yeah, we get kind of this game that Choso and Mahito set up with Jogo of the first one to see Yuji gets to do whatever they want with him. Mahito and Choso want to kill him. Jogo's like, we gotta turn him into Sukuna. So that's kind of where we're kind of left. On the cursed spirit side of things, is they're going to run off and play that game while Geto has to hang out with the prison realm. We have Mei Mei is matching up with potentially 2 very strong cursed spirits. And then we have Nanami is kind of going on his own to go back. He'll, I guess, obviously eventually discover our friend who's been stabbed. And then we get Megumi, Ino, and Itadori, Yuji are kind of like our other little squad that gets created here. That's like a lot of things, obviously, that I just threw out, a lot of little moving parts. I just think we can comment on everything, essentially, that's not like Gojo Prison Realm type of stuff. And then we can get the heck out of here.
Shout out to Megumaru, man, for still being around. I'd like, so he is actually dead. He just had this contingency plan, essentially, just the moment Gojo got sealed. So I gave a lot of flowers to Megumaru last episode, and I think they're even more so bolstered here by like him having such like planned out so well the events that were about to happen, and just it kind of puts in perspective the reason why he kind of set up the meeting between him and Mahito. It makes a little bit more sense to me. Obviously, I still think it was a bad idea, but Megumaru planned very well for it, and I think he redeemed
himself a bit.
Yeah, he's an awesome character, sure. Obviously.
It's a shame to see him go because he didn't. He just wanted a body so bad, and he resorted to some really bad means to achieve that, and it backfired greatly. But he's doing his best to make up for it. He planted these seeds, and he's gonna guide the crew as best he can. Mm-hmm. I thought it was sweet. Mahito was like noticed it and freaking broke the camera, and then Geto's like, well, now we're fucked, we're stuck here. So while they did trap Gojo, you know, they're not in the clear yet, and we're gonna see how all that unfolds.
We kind of get left with, like I mentioned, Mei Mei has those curse spirits to deal with. We have Yuji, Megumi, and Ino now have kind of this task, let's say, of there's the 4 veils that Megumaru tells us about, so we know that's going to happen. We have Nanami is going to be doing whatever he ends up doing. Team Zenin is inside the station moving. So, like I had mentioned about the idea of sealing Gojo, this is kind of what it's for. It's to set the stage for everyone else to kind of get after it. I'm really excited for these next episodes. I don't know. I don't want to commit to us doing one at a time because things seem to pop up.
Yeah, we'll see.
But we're going to be covering the rest of the season. Don't you worry. So if you have if you're really begging for it and you're seeing we're missing episodes, just hit us up. We can talk about it. We're going to try to do it as best we can, but I don't want to commit because obviously our track record this season has not been the best. Mm-hmm. Does anyone have any parting thoughts they want to throw out?
I think the guy that got stabbed is going to live. I don't think that's just the nature of anime. Even though you get stabbed 5 times brutally through the stomach, you'll survive.
The nature of Jujutsu Kaisen, though.
We'll find out. And then my last comment being the two girls that we got from the flashback in the original season, they do pop up and kind of threaten the fake pseudo ghetto. Interested to see how they play a role because we haven't seen if they have powers. We haven't really seen them do anything, to be honest, in my head from what I remember. So curious to see how they'll live up to that threat that they put against this pseudo ghetto that we know is very capable.
Yeah. And you, I actually thought of you when I saw them because you talked about them a lot.
Yeah.
So they're like, this guy.
Yeah. I feel like when I saw them on the screen, I kind of like patted myself on the shoulder. I was like, these guys are going to be a little,
because I mean, if they don't align with pseudo ghetto, then he obviously is crooked as hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's funny. His response to it, he has 2 lines that are great when he's like, maybe in 3 lines, but he's basically saying, like, you know, here's your lesson. Like, if you're going to make a promise or an agreement with a sorcerer, then make sure it's a pact. And then, do you want to be killed by this body? Which I thought was hard as fuck. And then they say, like, you'll regret this and walk away. And he sits down and he says, regret. How did that taste again? Love that. That's fucking sick. They've done a good job of like building him up so much, I think, in these past three episodes specifically, because we know he's always been like very nonchalantly in characters that we know are very strong, but I feel like now like the mental aspect of it all has come out really hard and more of like maybe his personality, and it's been fun.
I think it's important to note too, Ghetto, when he defected the group, the core three, he was aiming to eradicate cursed spirits and curses in general, and now he is working with them. And it's a clue to, like, I guess, the true intentions of Ghetto.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, let me just zooming in on myself right there.
I'm excited to see how this these new groups play out with Nanami, Fushiguro, and Yuji, and the guy with the beanie is that who that is?
Yeah, that's Ino, I believe.
Ino.
It feels wrong because that's like a Naruto character, but I'm fairly positive it's Ino.
There's a lot of characters that we haven't seen.
Eiichi is the guy with the glasses that got stabbed. The OG like assistant guy that like
driver and everything. Sorry.
There's a lot of new characters that I'm excited
to see. I'm excited to see. Yeah, because this season is supposed to be 24 episodes and we're on what, episode 11?
We're about to be on
episode 11, and like basically we're tapping the surface right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
chapter one of this arc basically is now closed.
Yeah, Gojo getting sealed is like the official start.
Like this is part one. I think this is like part one, or you know, I don't know how it's referred to.
Being done or whatever.
Like,
yeah.
Part one of the arc. Yeah. I mean, we have to see. We know Toto's gonna come back. Like maybe, you know, I'm excited to see him return.
Best friend, dude.
I'm excited to see.
He was in the little documentary style video.
Yeah, I'm excited.
He's an idiot, and then at the end, he's the strongest.
Like Mei Mei with her brother,
there's a lot of cool powers coming, characters, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Me too.
I reread the whole arc, and it's just fucking, it's so goddamn good. The ending is going to be literally amazing.
Yeah, it's going to pop off, Dave.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
All right, so that's going to do it for us. That's episodes 8, 9, and 10, 3 and 1. Banged it out
They said it couldn't be done, but we did it.
It was pretty much a perfect sandwich, though. It was a nice, exactly what we're saying. Part one, these 3 episodes gave us the Gojo fight, Gojo sealed. Now we're hitting the ground running. Everybody else gets involved. I won't say it a 10th time. If like what you heard, best way to support us is just going to be to like, subscribe on whatever you are listening or watching on. We are currently covering Gen V. Amazon Prime's Little Boys spinoff. We've been liking that show a lot. Wheel of Time is about to run down to the finale. The finale is actually this week, as of we are recording this on October 3rd. That show's been great for us, especially on YouTube. A lot of ton of fun. And then we did what? We did the One Piece live action. So if you want to continue on that anime level type of vein with us, go check out our One Piece live action coverage. And that's going to do it for us. So thank you for listening once again, twice again, thrice again. We are Bingetown TV. And yeah, that's it.
Alice in Borderlands season 3 confirmed.
Oh, spit. I forgot about that too.
That's we'll crazy. Be covering it.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
Shibuya Station.
You are my special.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.